slides. I did that by accident. Yeah, my bad. So can you go ahead and just let me have my first slide on that? There we go. So if you're wondering why that's going on, it wasn't Nicholas's fault. It was mine. And I do want to encourage you to, I've thoroughly enjoyed, I like having coffee at the church. I've thoroughly enjoyed this coffee this morning. Before we dive in this morning, I want to, I'm not making a political statement. I want you to hear me. This has nothing to do with politics. But I do know that because of the government shutdown conflicts and things going on right now, that starting November the 1st, there will not be food stamps available, those kind of things. And I was talking to one of our senior adults about this morning, who will be without money for groceries this Saturday. Like, if this happens, then she's going to have a problem. How do I say this? I want us to pray for our nation, pray for our state. Tracy was doing some research on this. This morning we were driving into church, and we were talking about this, and she looked online, and there are 1.4 million people in Georgia that will be without food assistance come this Saturday if this is not reconciled. 1.4 million people of our own people in our own state. And I'm not making a comment on who deserves it, who doesn't deserve it. That's not my call. But I know there are a lot of people that come Saturday and Sunday and next week, if this is not resolved, they're going to have they're not going to have food to eat for their families. So I want to encourage you to bring food to the co-op. We have it out here, and the Monday after the fourth Sunday is when the folks collect it and take it over to the Lawrenceville co-op. But I know there's going to be a greater need than normal because of this. Hope for the hungry, there will be a greater need than normal because of this. So let me just say this to our church family, and that's the people in this room and the people that may be watching online. If you are a part of our church family, do not go hungry. You have us. You have the Lord. We have resources. Please call. My name is John. My cell phone is 404-784-4189. And call me and let me know. Don't be proud or embarrassed. If you find yourself in this thing with not knowing what to do, the church has resources to help our own. You're part of our family. If this was Tracy's parents, or if this was my son and daughter-in-law and grandkids, she and I would not hesitate. Well, you're part of our family, and we're not going to hesitate to help our own. So if you find yourself really in a pickle, food, if you find yourself in a trouble, like I can't buy food for myself or for my family, please, please, I'm begging you, call me. And we will get on that and try to help you as quick as possible. I do want to take just a minute and pray for all those folks affected. Pray for our nation, our leaders, that they would somehow do what's best for the people and not what's best for their political party. But let's do what's best for the people, like the citizenry. I said I wasn't going to get political, but I am going to say this. When we broke away from England in the beginning, we had taxation without representation. We have that again. We have a bunch of people in Washington that are arguing about stuff, and the people that make up this great nation are hurting in a lot of different ways. And I think our leaders need to get over themselves and get on their knees and ask God for wisdom and fix a lot of the problems in our nation, and they would be fixed. But God has called us to pray, 2 Chronicles 7:14. So I want to pray for our nation, for our leaders, for our state, for the Lawrenceville Co-op, the Hope for the Hungry, and for our church family, and anybody that you may know personally, maybe in your family. I want to pray for them during these days. So let's pray before we dive in. Father, we want to lift up our nation to you. We want to lift up our leaders to you. We thank you that you are the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There is no one greater than you. There's no one more important than you. And Lord, sometimes we confess that as human beings, we can certainly make a mess of things with our own pride and our own arrogance. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for that. And we pray for our leaders that they would be godly men and women who would seek your face and that they would do what's best for the people that you have entrusted into their care. The millions and millions of people that call the United States their home. And hunger is not just in the United States, it's all over the world, and which is crazy because there's plenty of food. But, Lord, give us wisdom. I pray for wisdom over the next 6 days that our leaders would come to a decision and stop being children arguing over their point of view or their angle. They would do what's best for the people. And we pray for our state. We pray for our governor. We pray for those in positions of leadership in our state, in our county, the county that the church is in Gwinnett County, the counties we live in, maybe it's, whether it's DeKalb, Gwinnett, Fulton, Barrow, wherever, Jefferson, Lord, that we, wherever our people are living, that you would give us wisdom. And Lord, if there's anybody in this church family that has a need, Father, would they, that you would put it on their heart to call and let us know, so that we can help our brothers and sisters who are in need and who are genuinely doing everything they can do to make ends meet, and it's just not enough. We want to help with that. So give us wisdom, we pray. Help us as we dive into your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. We're looking at verses every Christian should know and why they should know them. I'm not going to do this in the second service, but I had fun with the first service, folks. I pulled up my list of verses we've covered, and we tried to see if everybody could say them. And they were really strong on some verses and really weak on some others. And I said, it's not fair because it's a pop quiz. You didn't know this was coming. But I'm hoping that these verses, not only do we cover, but these verses you actually try to memorize and hide them in your heart, so that when you find yourself in a what did David say? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So I'm hoping you'll hide these words in your heart that you might not sin against God, and God will give you strength. This morning we're going to look at Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. We're going to look at what it means and why it matters. And I'm going to ask you to look along in your Bible, or you can look on the screen. I apologize, this first slide is really small print, but it gets better after this one. But I wanted to get our text in one place, so I'm going to read this and you can follow along. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, so that you won't grow weary and give up. The book of Hebrews was written to people who were suffering for their faith. The book of Hebrews, the book of James, the book of 1 Peter, they were all written to people who were suffering because of their faith. And for those people who heard, those Hebrews who read or heard the book of Hebrews, the letter of Hebrews, for them it was a powerful letter that reveals Jesus Christ as the perfect high priest and ultimate sacrifice for sin. For them it was a bridge of faith stretching from shadow to substance, stretching from sacrifice to salvation. For them, it was a divine symphony declaring that Christ is enough yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the book is about. When you look at our text, therefore, and I'm not trying to be funny or cute or clever or any of that stuff, but whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, look back to see what it's there for. That's really a good way to remember that. So when you read therefore, Why did he say therefore? Whoever wrote it, whether it was Paul or some or Luke or somebody else, why did they say therefore? You go back to Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great hall of faith. By faith, Abraham did this. Enoch did this. By faith, all these people, these men and women, lived by faith. So when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, what you find is it's a record of men and women who trusted God against all odds. And you and I have had odds. You and I have had difficulties. I'm not sure I could ever classify myself in the category of Hebrews 11 people. Like, I've had some, I mean, we've all had some difficult times. But when I put my life up against Abraham's or Noah's or any of those people, I'm like, you know, I can't really, I don't have the problems those people had. I mean, they really were fighting the odds. That's what Hebrews 11 is about. It's a sacred gallery where faith paints portraits of courage throughout the ages. It is a journey through history showing that faith has always been the foundation of obedience to God. It's a call to live by faith today, because the same God who worked then is working now. So here's the outline. Here's how we're going to look at this morning. Verse 1, how we are to run our race. Verse 2, how Jesus ran his race. And then verse 3, why it matters. So we're looking at what it means. We're looking at why it matters. How we are to run, how Jesus ran, and why it matters. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses, in verse 1, surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us. Now, there are three words or phrases that interest me, and actually there's a fourth one, but I'd already done these slides and put them in, and I didn't want to have to go home and get my computer to fix this. So I'm just going to tell you I'm adding a word. So it's not up here. But it says in verse 1, let me go back. Therefore, since we have such a, what's the next word? Large or great. Most Bible translations translate this great. Therefore, since we have such a great or large cloud of witnesses. So I want to talk about large. I want to talk about cloud. I want to talk about lay aside. I want to talk about endurance. You're going to find that the word endurance or endure is in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. It's in all three verses of the text. So if it's in verse 1, and if it's in verse 2, and if endure is in verse 1, endure is in verse 2, endure is in verse 3, what do you think it's about? There you go. Give yourself a star on your chart. Yes, endurance. So we're going to talk about that and what that word means. But let's talk about such a large cloud or a great cloud of witnesses. The writer said to the people, the Hebrew Christians in the New Testament, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses. Who were their great cloud of witnesses? It's all the people in Hebrews chapter 11. But then yesterday, I was at my granddaughter's soccer games, and it just kind of hit me between games. We were, you know how you are, you sit out there. And why they have soccer games at 8 o'clock in the morning, I do not know. And they can't have them across the street. They got to have them 1 hour away. So we left our house about 6:45 to get there to watch our granddaughters freeze. But it was fun. But anyway, I'm just sitting there watching them play, and your granddaughter's in and out. You know, she plays a while. She's on the bench, and she plays. So I'm just sitting there, and I thought, great cloud of witnesses. Great cloud. Large cloud. Interesting. So who was the large cloud of witnesses for the Hebrew Christians? It was all the people in Hebrews chapter 11. But my question then was, who, the people in Hebrews 11, who was their cloud of witnesses? Like, who did Enoch look to? Like, who did Abel look to? Abel's parents, Adam and Eve, got in trouble in the garden. Cain, Abel, they had another brother. His brother kills him. Like, who did he look at for His mom, his dad, his brother, his other brother. Like, what about Noah? Noah, God tells him to build a boat, build an ark. Noah goes, what's an ark? It's a boat. Well, how big do you want it? 450 feet long, which is the length of a football field and then another half field. He didn't know football, but it's that long. Why are you going to do that, God? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? And he tells him. And it took Noah and his three sons and their wives a long time to build an ark with no power tools. And neighbors thinking, what are you, nuts? But they were saved in the flood. But who did Noah look to? Who did David look to? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. So the Hebrews 11 people had a great... Hebrews 11, so the Hebrew Christians had a great cloud of witnesses. But those people in Hebrews 11, who was their cloud of witnesses? And here's my point. Over 2,000 years of recorded Christian history, if they had a cloud of witnesses and they had a great cloud of witnesses, you and I have a greater cloud of witnesses. Because we have 2,000 years of men and women who walked with God. Now, this is important because you see great cloud, okay? What's a cloud? In Hebrews, in the Hebrew language, cloud means cloud. In Greek, it means cloud. Cloud. But in the classical Greek, this word nephos, the word cloud was used. Now, understand the metaphor here is a race. Paul was into athletics. He talked about wrestling. He talked about racing. He really liked athletics. So here he's talking about great cloud of witnesses, run your race with patience, looking to Jesus, and all that stuff. The word cloud here in the classical Greek was used to describe the highest seat, the bleachers, the highest bleachers, the highest seats in a stadium. Have you ever been on the ground in a massive, huge, like, not a high school stadium, but like, a stadium? Like, have you ever been to a professional ball game and been down on the field? How many of y'all have ever done that? Okay, yeah. It's pretty impressive. I've been on the ground of Mercedes-Benz in a football game. And you look up and you go, man, there is a chunk of people in here. When I was in high school, I played trumpet. And our high school band played for a Rams-Falcons game. And this was back, if some of y'all remember, when the Rams had... Roman Gabriel, Merlin Olsen, Rosie Greer. Now, I'm this skinny little kid down at the end zone with my little trumpet. Because we were down on the end zone. As soon as the game, at halftime came, they were going to run to the locker rooms and we were going to run out there and do it. And then we would run off and then they would come back. So I'm watching Claude Humphrey and these guys, Tommy Nobis. And I'm watching Roman Gabriel, and I'm watching Rosie Greer, and I'm watching Merlin Olsen, all these people. And I'm seeing the massive humans trying to kill each other, and I'm hearing words I never heard before. And I'm looking, I'm standing there. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was on a Sunday. I'm standing there looking up at the state in Fulton County Stadium, and I'm looking at this going, wow, wow. Wow. Now, the word cloud, if you showed up at a stadium in the Greek days and you got your ticket and they look at your ticket and go, oh, you got a great seat. You are up in the cloud section where you can see everything. If you're down here, you can't see everything. But up there, that's the best seats in the house because you can see everything. It's very romantic to think that our family is up in heaven watching us. And sometimes I like to think that. Sometimes I like to think my brother James, my mom, is up there going, go get him, Johnny. You can do it, Johnny. You can do it, Johnny. You can do it, do it, do it. You can do it. I mean, it's fun to think that. But in reality, the word has the idea of trophy case. That all these men and women up there that have followed Christ all those centuries, I'm looking at all of them in the trophy case of my imagination. So not only am I looking at the Old Testament like the Hebrew believers did, I'm looking at the New Testament. So Paul's up there somewhere. Peter's up there, man of faith. Ruth's up there, woman of faith. Esther's up there, woman of faith. Priscilla and Aquila are up there, couple of faith. All the historical people of faith are up there. So there's Billy Graham, there's Billy Sunday, there's D.L. Moody, there's Fanny Crosby, there's all these men and women of Christian history that are there. And there's all the people in my own history that are there. My mom is there. My brother is there. My nephew is there. My grandparents are there. Our children are there. They're all in the stands. And I can look at all of those, not thousands of people, but millions, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of people before me that were men and women of incredible faith. And now they are with the Lord, and I'm looking at this trophy case saying to myself, down on the field of life, I'm looking at it going, well, wow, wow, wow. They all made it. I guess I can make it too. If they made it, why can't I? So what do I have to do? I have to lay aside. The word lay aside here is two Greek words that put together in a compound word. It means to lay something down and push it far away beyond reach. To lay something down and push it, to lay aside, it means to lay something down and push it far away out of reach. Now, let me explain this to you so everybody's like, oh, I get this. I so get this. How many of you grew up watching cowboy TV shows or cowboy movies or whatever? God bless you. You're my kindred spirit. How many of y'all never saw a cowboy show? There you go. We're all on the same page. So we all are going to understand this. Let's say I'm the bad guy. Who am I? Class? Bad guy. My guns. They look like fingers, but they're not. Here's what I say to you. You're the good guy. You're the white hat. You're the good guy. Drop your gun and kick it over here. Right? Drop your gun, kick it over here. Why? Because I don't want you to be in a position where you can grab your gun and shoot me. Hey, drop your, hey, partner. Drop your gun and kick it over here. Okay. You know what the Lord is saying in this passage? Hey, lay aside your weights and sin. Drop it and kick it over here. Kick it so far away that you can't go back to it. So what are we to lay aside? Weights and sins. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Let's think about verse 1 again. Therefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Patience. The race. Wait a minute. I'm going backwards. There. Let us run with endurance or patience. What does that word mean? Endurance or patience is the Greek word hypomone. H-Y-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hypomone. And it means to voluntarily remain under without giving up, giving in, or giving out. That I choose to stay in this adversity I'm in, even though I could leave. I choose to stay in this marriage and work it out. I choose to stay in this job and work it out. I choose to stay in this friendship, this relationship, and work it out. I'm choosing to not run away. I'm going to lay aside some stuff. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to kick it away. And I'm going to lay some stuff aside. So what am I going to lay aside? Weights and sins. Weights are not wrong. They're just not wise. I spent some time on this in the first service. And I'm just going to tell you, Because I seek godly counsel from people after the first service. And I spent too much time talking about this. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about, then I'm not going to talk about it. But there is evidence. I found a bunch of research this week from non-Christian, like just secular history websites, that the Greeks used to race in the nude. Now, here's where I spent too much time on it. So after, I mean, I'm explaining what it means. There are four things that it meant. And so I went through all four things in the service, and I asked several people afterward. I said, you know, you got anything for me or any pointers, anything? They said, man, you spent way too much time talking about being naked. Like so I'm not going to talk about that. I got more information on it. It was a fascinating study to look at those stories, the history. But it goes back to a guy in the Olympic days, in the Greek Olympics, who was wearing a tunic, and it came loose, and he tripped on it, and he lost the race. So they started racing in the nude, which meant there was no encumbrances, right? So when the writer says, lay aside every weight, he is saying, lay aside the encumbrances and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. What is the sin and what is the weight? I have heard so many sermons in my life over what the sin is. Well, the sin is you ought to go to church every Sunday. If you miss a Sunday, that's a sin. Well, you don't drink, don't smoke and chew and run with those that do. That's a sin. Don't go to the movie theater. I've heard these. Don't go to the movie theater. That's a sin. The writer purposefully does not tell you what the weight is or what the sin is, but it leaves you to the context of the passage. When you have to look at the context of the passage. What is chapter 11 about? It's the hall of what? Faith. What is the sin? Lack of faith. What is the weight? Anything that hurts your faith. That's what this means. So the writer is saying you need to be careful to not let anything trip up your faith, whether it's where you put your kids in school, what they're being taught 6 hours a day, whether it's the social media sites that you spend way too much time on. Here, this is easy. So we need to have a strong faith. Would you agree with that? Yeah, we need our faith to be strong. So in your personal life, this is why the writer doesn't give particulars. In your personal life, what is it or who is it that is ensnaring you and hurting your faith? So that's what you need to drop and kick it aside and get rid of it, so that your faith can be strong. We know from Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I know if I want my faith to be strong, I'm going to have to spend some time in this book. I know that. I know I can build my faith by spending time in the word and by spending time in prayer, by spending time with God's people. And being around people that are going to build my faith up and not spend hours and hours and hours with people that don't believe in my God, don't believe in my Bible, don't believe in my Jesus, don't believe in my Holy Spirit, and just want to tear down my faith, okay? You need to lay aside the weights and the sin of unbelief that so easily ensnares us. Okay, verse 2. Looking, there we are. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus started our faith. He's going to finish it. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus started the faith thing with you, and he's going to finish the faith thing with you. He was there at the beginning. He'll be there at the end. He didn't take a lunch break. He didn't get 2 weeks off of a year for vacation. He's there 24/7. He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. And you have that in the book of Hebrews. Looking to Jesus. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to see in this verse. looking to Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, and again, enduring. Jesus endured. I've already told you what that means. Jesus did that. We are to do that. We are to run with patience, with endurance, our race, to hypomone, to voluntarily remain where we are without giving in, giving up, giving out. And Jesus did the very same thing. Do you think that Jesus could have come off the cross if he wanted to? Oh, yeah. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and me. He could have come off that cross anytime he wanted to, but he stayed there because he wanted to be able to say to the Father, to telestai, it is finished. But the other phrase I want you to see is keeping our eyes on Jesus. This Greek word, according to Westcott's Greek commentary, says this is a present participle, meaning we focus not only at the first moment, but constantly during the whole struggle. That's what the word means, to focus, to fix our eyes on Jesus to the exclusion of everything else. That doesn't mean you're reckless, but you keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Let me have a sip of my good missions coffee. Hang on. You need to get you some of that. You're not going to believe this, but I used to be a runner. I can't run anymore because my Achilles, I've blown out both my Achilles over time, and I just can't do the long distance. But I really enjoyed it. The first 3 days I started running, how many of y'all run? Okay. You remember the first couple of days of running? You felt like your lungs were going to come out of your throat. And then you kind of get into this rhythm, and then those endorphins kick in. And I remember, like, when I was in a rhythm, I'd run 3 miles and get back to the house and go, I could do three more. And a couple of times I go, I think I'll go three more, and I do. I mean, I just, but boy, it was, there was, I did two things. One, to stop myself from hyperventilating every day, I allowed myself one breath every 8 steps. I just told myself, you can't have the breath you want. I told my body. So here's what I did. I'm running, and it was hard, but I was like, whew, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3. And I would count out loud, 5, 6, which probably took breath. 1, 2, 3, 4. But here's the thing I did that got me through. I found a target on the road. We were living in Illinois, and Illinois is as flat as this table. You could see for miles. I mean, it was farmland. You could see for 5 miles. I'm not kidding you. You could see for 5 miles straight down the road, this asphalt road. And there were phone lines on both sides. But on this side, there was this huge pole that was twice as big as the other poles and wasn't made out of wood. It was made out of steel. And it was like 50 feet taller because it went to the power grid that was just right down the road. So it was exactly a mile and a half from our front porch to that pole. And here's how I made it. Every day when I went out to run, I'd go 2 blocks, 1 block over to the highway, and then I put my eyes on that pole. And I said, all right, here we go. 1, 2, 2, 2. And I'm watching the pole. 2, 2, 2, 2, for a mile and a half. It was great out there because hardly anybody lived out there, but I watched for cars. And if I saw a car, I'd get off the road. But there were very few cars when I'd run, and I'm just watching that pole. I'm fixing my eyes on it to the exclusion of everything else. And that's what the writer's telling us to do here. You fix your eyes on Jesus, and you don't take them off to the exclusion of everything else. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He's the one that started this with me before I was ever born. He's the one that saved me when I was 8 years old. He's the one that called me into ministry when I was 16 years old. He's the one that will be there with me when I draw my last breath. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And I'm going to keep my eyes on him to the exclusion of all the noise in the world, of all the craziness in the world. I'm doing this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Now, verse 3, why does this matter? Why does this matter? Verse 3 tells us, consider him who endures, there it is again, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself so that you won't grow weary and give up. Why did the writer say this? Because these people were under an enormous amount of pressure because of their faith. And he was saying to them, I want you to hang in there without giving. I want you to hang in there like a tick on a hound dog. I want you to hang in there without giving up, giving in, or giving out. And I want you to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Consider that he endured such hostility. Think about what Jesus did for you to bring you to this point of faith so that you won't grow weary and give up. The word consider means to reckon, to compare, to weigh, to think over. To blot out all the distractions. One of the Greek definitions that I read said that it means think it over. Think it over. Okay. Therefore, seeing as we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus, him and him alone, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For, consider him, think it over what he went through, so that whatever you're going through, you're not going to grow weary, and you're not going to give up. I know some of y'all are going through stuff. I believe the Lord led me to this passage because he knew that all of us needed this morning. So if you're going through some stuff, don't give up. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth are going to grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's why these verses matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these truths. I thank you that you don't leave us alone to deal with our own issues by ourselves. But you're there. You never leave us or forsake us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Those Hebrew believers that got this letter and read it knew that. We who have this same letter in the Bible, we know it. We don't forget it. Father, I pray for our church family and our extended family, people that may not even go to church here, but they are believers. We pray for them as they are going through some hard stuff, that you help them not to grow weary in the battle of life and give up. But they would stay in there and trust you without giving in, giving up, or giving out. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Derek?
Yes, great message this morning. Our benediction today, 2 Corinthians 13:1. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thanks, everyone. Have a great rest of your Sunday.